My name's Jerry Robinson. This is the Friends of Gibraltar Oral History Project, and we are with Mary Lou Benson, and it's the 11th of June. Thank you for agreeing to be interviewed, Mary Lou. Could we start by you saying something about when you were born, and your parents, and your first recollections of life in Gibraltar?
I was born on Bastille's Day, which is the 14th of July, 1926. And for that, my family always said that's why I've been very revolutionary person. I try to think now. The thing that comes to mind most, you won't believe it, as a child, was that I used to love going to parades. There were a lot of military parades in Gibraltar. And the fact that I was the first girl born in the family, and my father desperately wanted a boy. So I'm afraid I was brought up with toy soldiers and parades and military things. My mother and her sisters had done a beautiful cupboard with a lovely house with, the little kids have houses, and I never looked at it. I used to play. They used to buy toy soldiers in boxes, and my father used to buy those for me, and cars, because I was, he adored me, and obviously he wanted a boy, and I was a girl. So he brought me up as a boy. I think, really, that has made a complete difference to my life in, on the whole.
Yeah.
As I've never really been able to get on well with women. Well, yes, but I've always, and then I have two sons,
okay,
and two brothers. So, really, in that respect, I think that this is, because sometimes I wonder why am I different. You know, I think that that has been the cause of my life being completely different to other girls. So military parades were my big things. They were really lovely in those days, you know, and a lot of, and main, not the whole of Main Street, you know, was a big parade. And thing. I was cheated once. Apparently I had bad adenoids and tonsils. I think I was six or five or six. I can't remember that, but I do remember. And in those days, hospitals in Gibraltar didn't have the facility. So in Spain, they had what is called as like a traveling circus, a traveling lot of these people who took your tonsils out and things like that. This was really, I'm talking of 1926, to, well, I'm talking 1930 then now. And Daddy sort of kind of cheated, and he said, we're going to go and see a parade. So instead of going to see a parade, we went into this office or whatever it is where these surgeons were, and they looked at me. And the next thing I know is that, I believe this is true, came home. I was sitting down in a chair. They put a black bib, that I remember. No anaesthetic in those days.
No?
No. Well, in those days, 1930?
No.
In 34, 32, whatever. And open your mouth, you know, and it happened. And all I can remember is crying when I saw a lot of blood. So they took my tonsils out. And incidentally, they took, you know that you have this little bell here?
Yeah.
That went as well, because I've never had it. And whenever a doctor said, open your mouth, said, where is that?
It went, I said, that it went just went.
So I was ill, you know, for a few days. I think I cried at the sight of blood. I can't remember. I was only four or five, you know, so I really can't remember that. And the next thing I know is that I had measles, you know, that sort of thing. And that was one thing I remember, you know, from the past. Believe it or not, many, many years later, God, I don't know how old I would have been, I was working, I was in Madrid, and I was having a lot of trouble because they never took my tonsils from the roots, you know. They were doctors, but not really. Thing. And I was having a lot of sore throats in Madrid, and so eventually I went to see a specialist, and he said, oh, you know, you've got tonsils. I said, well, no, I had my tonsils out. No, but you've got the thing. And so he said, well, I'll take them out. Again, because anaesthetic was unknown. Mm. With prongs.
Oh, wow.
They took those out immediately. That was the end of that.
Mary Lou, what did your father do for a living?
My father worked in Eastern Telegraph Company. My mother's brother was the manager of Eastern Telegraph Company in Haifa, in Palestine. You know, so really, I had perhaps more connections in Gibraltar with English people than the average Gibraltarian of my age would have,
yes.
I think, through these connections.
And was your father actually Gibraltarian?
My father was Gibraltarian.
Yeah.
He, like all the other Gibraltarians ages ago, must have emigrated from Italy. Nobody ever seems to know where. You know, Genoa is talked about. You know,
yes.
This immigration happened in, I don't know when. Certainly, my father was born in Gibraltar. And a lot of them obviously married Spanish women.
And your mother, was she?
My mother's family was slightly different, because on my mother's side, they were fighting with the Knights of St. John.
Mm-hmm.
And the name was Bertucci.
Mm-hmm.
And with when the Knights of St. John disbanded in Malta, that's where they gave up. They stayed on in Malta, and from Malta, one lot came to Gibraltar and the other lot went to Granada.
Okay.
Right. The Gibraltar lot is my mother's lot. The Granada lot is the famous Spanish painter Mariano Bertucci,
who's quite
well known in Spain.
Mm.
I can show you one of his paintings. That was the
yes.
the two brothers. One, they had been fighting with the Knights of St. John, and they disbanded in Malta. And then from Malta, one went to Granada and one came to Gibraltar.
And where was your family home in Gibraltar?
My family home in Gibraltar was in a street called City Mill Lane, which is, if you know, the big square is. City Mill Lane is a lane going up.
Okay.
We had a flat there. It was, now you call it a penthouse, but in those days people didn't know about penthouses. It was at the very top of the building, and we had a big terrace, and it was a lovely flat.
Yes.
It is what you get. I mean, for me, that terrace was bliss, because I remember at the beginning of the war, 1939, before the war, they were doing a lot of exercises with searchlights and aeroplanes, and it's now called a penthouse, but
yes.
back it was the top floor, and it was a big terrace. And I used to sit on the terrace and watch the searchlights, pick up the aeroplanes. I think I was a loner, really.
Okay.
I had two brothers; they were younger than me. Girlish things never really seemed to attract me. I know my mother and her sisters did a doll's house for me, in our nursery, and I never looked at it. I had the other side with the soldiers. Whether it was my father's influence, he used to take me to soccer matches every Saturday, and I just loved it. And one day I was busy at home, doing the thing, and I was just, trying to do how they should play, how my favorite team should play, who would be mid-half or who would be back. I think it is because my father adored me and I was the firstborn. My brother came 4 years later.
Okay.
And my other one 6 years later. And he just adored me, football matches, everything, just used to the doll's house stayed there, untouched.
Now, you mentioned to me beforehand that you were holidaying in Spain, in San Roque.
In 1936.
The Spanish War.
Yeah, that was horrible.
Would you like to say something about that?
Yeah, I would. I hated every minute of it, because my biggest joy came July and August. Gary, we didn't have cars in those days. you know,
horse-drawn
jeep, I used to call them, used to take us every day at 3 o'clock to Eastern Beach, mm-hmm. and to me, until 8 in the evening, 7 or 8 in the evening, and my friends, you know, my mother's friends and children and things like that. Eastern Beach in those days, hardly anybody ever went, so there could only be about 4 or 5 families in I'm talking of 1936. And it was bliss. I loved it.
That's where you still had the race course and Victoria Park.
Indeed, the race course and also a thing. They used to do target shooting in those days. And they had 2 lots, you know, where, I don't know, have you ever been inside one of those?
Yes.
You know, they have like plaques that go up and down.
Yeah.
So we used to escape and from the beach and go there. But if they were having exercises, you know, you wouldn't be allowed through.
Yeah.
So we had to kind of wait until they finished and then we go through. And we used to go hunting for bullets, you know,
in
the beach, you know, sort
yes.
of thing. And there were about 3 or 4 families that got together. Hardly anybody went to the beach. Because remember one thing, people didn't have cars in those days. Mm-hmm. Not many people had cars. We used to have a taxi that took us. And then when Daddy finished work, he'd come in a bicycle in the evening. But for me, that was heaven. The beaches were hardly anybody went there. Just the 3 or 4 families that we used to go there. Big rules like you couldn't swim until 3 hours after you'd eaten and all that. You know,
that.
I remember sitting there waiting. And it was heaven. It was absolutely heaven.
But
and
you went to La Roque for your holidays, though, didn't you?
No, we lived in Gibraltar.
Yes.
But we went to the beach for 2 months, July and August. Every day, a gharry, because there were no cars, you know, horse-drawn jeep, I call. And of course, the big thing is that if I had been a good girl, I would be allowed to go on the top.